96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are just a few days away from Memorial Day, a day to honor the sacrifice and service of American military veterans. And while we salute the service of all of them, tonight we talk about the women who have served. How is life after the military different? And what do female veterans need to know? Well, my guests are Karen Lloyd. She's an Army pilot and director of the Veterans History Project. And Nicole King Campbell, program analyst and representative of the Air Force Women's Officers Association. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question about women veterans and life after the military. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you're welcome to follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Karen and Nicole, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's kind of jump right into this conversation, because even in 2017, unfortunately, a lot of people, when they think about military veterans, that image is of men and not necessarily of women. So, Nicole, I'll ask you, how is life for women after the military as compared to life for men after military service?
Well, for one thing, sometimes it's hard to adjust. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in the military, especially if you're in a leadership role, you have to have that extra strong approach sometimes, but in a way that people aren't thinking, calling you names, I guess is the best way to describe it. And then when you transition to the civilian life, you have to adjust to the fact that the people you're working with and the people in your everyday lives are not taking orders, or they don't have to do some of the things you think is the best way for something to occur. So you have to kind of adjust your leadership styles, and that can be difficult. Mm-hmm. The other challenge is you kind of lose yourself, I think, a little bit, some people, if you're not really prepared. I found myself, when I moved to the area, I had to go back and look at my records and say, yeah, I actually took people across the border. I actually did things, because I feel like some of the challenges you have getting care and stuff like that, after hearing no a lot, you start to believe like you can't do things, and you have to go back and look and say, you know, I actually did some things in the past. So I think that's a challenge in adjusting. And then healthcare, for example, in the military, you don't want to be sick. You don't, especially in the reserves, because those are things that could disqualify you. And then when you try to get treatment for it because you've been holding it back for a long time, or you don't know, because when you're in the military, you're always on duty. So you keep going even with whatever pain you have. Mm-hmm. But in the civilian world, you might need to check it out.
Whatever it happens to be, whether it be physical, emotional, or otherwise.
Oh, and the emotional is a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think being able to do that self-care and actually ask for help, mm-hmm. and build that new community of people who you probably end up spending more of your life with anyway, that's a little bit difficult to adjust to.
No, Karen, you heard what she said. You have to look back at her records and realize that she's done stuff. You and I were talking about that very thing right before Nicole came in, which is so fascinating to me. Why is it, do you believe, that women veterans have a hard time talking about the quote unquote stuff that they've done in their great time of service?
I think part of it is that in the military, you're part of a team, mm-hmm. and there is no I in team. And you don't think of things that you've done. You think of what did the team do, and then you have to translate that when you start to write your resume into a lot of I and everything you've been taught. And for me, I was in the service for 28 years, and everything I was taught was there should be no I in anything you do. And I think that was a problem. I was very, very lucky for two reasons. One, a light switch went off, and that doesn't happen for everyone. And when I chose to get out after 28 years, it was like a light switch went off, and I said, you know, I've done all that I can do here, and I'm ready to move on. But the even better part was my boss, Mr. Steve Coakley, I was stationed at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers at the time, said, when you were in service, you got jobs by reputation. You didn't get jobs because you did interviews. So he got with all these other senior executive service members of the Corps of Engineers, and they each had a strength. And I went and talked with them about what did I need to do. And he helped me write my resume. He helped me with the KSAs, the knowledge, skills, and abilities questions. Without that help, I would have been left adrift. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned, in the military, you don't interview for jobs. It's my last 10 years were all about reputation.
They give you the job because you're following orders,
essentially. And generals hear of your reputation and say, that's the one I want. And so I was just very fortunate. I was the XO to the Comptroller of the Army. And I wrote his speeches before he selected me to be his comptroller. I was the first female executive officer for the Comptroller of the Army. So it was interesting. All those things were fascinating. But I truly got by name requests. And I see Nicole nodding, which means she is completely familiar with that scenario. And again, if I had not had that help from my boss, my last boss in the military, I would have been set adrift. Huge difference, makes a big difference.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about life after the military for female veterans. What do they need to know? If you have a comment or question, give us a call. Lines are open. Let's go to Lakeisha. Lakeisha calling from Fort Washington. Lakeisha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
I commend you all for having this topic tonight. I am a female veteran. I've been enlisted. I've been an officer. I just want to share, and I have not had the experience that the young lady is on the line speaking of. They don't make mentors like they used to. It's very difficult. My coworker just called me while I was online and asked me, did I hear what was on the daily drum? And fortunately for you, you have those mentors. You have those people you can reach out to. I have not had that opportunity, and I think 90% of the women who are veterans have some type of difficulty in validating themselves or being validated for the accomplishments they have had. And I hope that you'll be able to speak to that or give us some guidance.
Nicole.
For mentorship and spiritual validation versus...
Go ahead, Nicole.
What branch of service were you in?
Army.
Well, thank you for your service, but...
Thank you.
Did you hear of the ROCs Incorporated?
Share, please. What
the ROCs,
is that?
So the ROCs is the Army's mentoring program for officers of color. They were particularly founded to help African-American officers. The Navy has the Naval Officer Association, and right now there's a call with the Air Forces Association, which is called AFCOMA. Mm-hmm. But there is... opportunities for mentoring formally and informally. But I hear what you're saying, because as a woman, sometimes it's really hard to find good mentors. And I'm actually in another forum of U.S. Air Force women officers, and we have like over 5,000 members. So that tells you there's a need for mentoring. And I didn't realize till I joined that particular forum that when I was on active duty, or even when I was in the reserves, I didn't go to another woman unless the core group that I met when I first came in and a couple from different assignments to tell them my problem, whatever it was, because I didn't want somebody in my unit going to my boss and say she has an issue. I have to appear strong. So I definitely hear what you're saying, because I found that if we have worked together better, just in general, women, there's so many things that we could accomplish. And there's so many things that could be demoralizing, like the hair issue about braids and what's professional. We find, like, one of the things we were discussing is, why is it for civilian who's a SES or
SES,
senior executive service, they could wear their hair out and that's professional, or maybe somebody in the Belgian army or something like that. But for some reason in 2017, when it's not a safety issue, a woman can't be looked at as professional. And I've served with NATO and seen them be able to carry guns and do all the things we needed to do. So those kind of things. But in particular to African-American women, you know, having other people decide what is culturally okay has been very demoralizing, especially since people don't understand, you know, why somebody, you know, the things which happen to both African-American and Caucasian women losing hair because they have to pull their hair back or feel like they have to look really strict, or go to the other extreme and cut it extremely severe. But those things that harm your spirit do affect women. So I definitely hear what you're saying about the mentoring, but you have an opportunity. You could join ROCKS. And there's other, and I will provide some information on that, that you can still help the next generation. In fact, several of us are going to go to the funeral tomorrow of that second lieutenant.
Yes, Collins.
Collins,
yes.
Because I think it hit so many of us hard because, you know, you prepare to go to war, but everybody could remember the day they commissioned and the day after, and on neither of those days you were expecting to die. So it is so heartbreaking. And then when you look at his picture, you could see, like, there's something about the leadership. So I definitely hear what you're saying. There's definitely a lot of leaders out there, and there's definitely people that's still available to help you transition.
Lakeisha, thank you so much for your phone call, and thank you for your service. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about female military veterans' life after service, what they need to know. Give us a call. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment. Quickly, Mike, calling from Southeast. Thanks for calling, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Harold, I want to thank you for having this show, which is well needed. And I just want to give my sympathy, and I just want to thank all the people that served in the Army and the sacrifices that they have to make, especially our females. The question I want to ask is, how are y'all dealing with homelessness among the, especially the female veterans that's coming, that give everything to fight for this country and basically these rich people's wars, and then they come back home and it's hard for them to get jobs, it's hard for them to get help. And, you know, that rubs me the wrong way, because I don't like to see any veteran, especially females, that has sacrificed so much for this country and then come back and, you know, and literally have to fight for everything. I think that's unfair. And then I want to ask you, with the election of Donald Trump and the programs that he's cutting, how is that affecting the veterans? Because I feel that if they could print all this money to give to dictators over the country, then they put the money in their pockets. They should be able to print out money to help the vets.
Mike,
I'll take my comment off here.
Mike, hold on, because I've got to take a break, and unless you're on satellite, you won't hear the answer. So please do not hang up. I need to take a break. If you're on the line, that also includes Latoya calling from Maryland. We'll take your phone call in just a few seconds as well. So please stay with us. We're talking about female military veterans. Life after service, what they need to know. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 610. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio.